Philippians 2, beginning with verse 4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, for those who use a church calendar, and we don't, but there are those who do, and this season is called Lent, the time leading up to Good Friday and Easter. And as this season is entered upon, the last day before it is Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday. And it's known as a day of excess. And thinking is that in some circles you would be giving up things for Lent. And so this is your last time. And we see it being taken further and further. And then you would have the start of Lent with Ash Wednesday. And it's common in certain places in Christendom, we might say, to give up something for Lent. Sometimes it's meat or candy or chocolate or TV or movies or whatever it is. Things that you would do on Fat Tuesday and things that you'll do the day after Easter, but in that period of Lent, you don't do those things. And for many, this is what they think of as self-denial. You give up something, and it doesn't have to be something that's even bad, but you just give it up for the sake of giving it up, for discipline. It's often seen as something a little painful, something to be endured, and you hope you can go back to normal. Well, I want us to see that as we look at Scripture, self-denial is not like that at all. Biblical self-denial is a whole different idea. It's much deeper and richer in meaning. It should have an impact on our lives each and every day. And so the first point, and we'll see this in Luke 9, is Jesus calls all of his disciples to self-denial. Look at verse 23. If anyone would come after me, he's saying, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be named Christian, if you want to be a follower of me, and he's sort of saying, if that's what you want, this is what you need to do. This is how my follower lives, my disciple. And he makes it very clear. Let him deny himself. Let him practice self-denial. And we might notice, as you look at that word deny and the word that comes after it, himself, this is really where self-denial begins. It begins with a person. It begins with where you see yourself and how you think about yourself. It's a putting aside of yourself, of your desires, of your hopes, of your goals, of your ambitions, of your comfortable lifestyle. It's a dying to self. It's a dying to the old lifestyle. It's a dying to the way that we've been accustomed to living. And instead, we're living for Christ. Living to honor Him. Seeking after Him. And notice, it's not just for a short time. It's a radical change for your entire life. Needs to be one of self-denial. And that idea is then reinforced as Jesus goes on and continues. Let him take up his cross. And what did it mean in the first century if you were going out of the city and you saw a man carrying his cross? That was a man on a one-way journey. He was going out to the place of execution. In a few hours, that man would be dead as he hung lifeless from that cross. And so Jesus is saying that you're like a dead man walking in terms of your old desires. They're dying and being put to death. That old way of life, that old way of thinking is dead. You are now alive to Christ. And as we think about that image, there's four things I think we need to notice. First, it's done for Christ's sake. It's done because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. If anyone wants or would come after me. And so, it's specifically tied with being a follower. You deny yourself not for because you want to somehow live a more stringent life or think it's a better way to live or you're concerned about how much of an impact you're having on this world and there'll be enough resources for the next generation to come and so you don't, you know, use any energy or whatever. That's not what's being talked about here. It's self-denial for the sake of Christ. There are all sorts of sufferings and afflictions that Christians and non-Christians have maybe forced on them. You know, you're someplace where there's no cell phone service and you're denied your cell phone. Well, it's not because of following Christ. It's simply there's no cell phone tower nearby. Or maybe you give up meat because it's too expensive and too much of a burden on your family budget. You're going through some self-denial, but it's not as a Christian. And so he's talking about Christian self-denial. Those who deny themselves because of being Christians. And oftentimes it might mean something that they could avoid, but they refuse to avoid it because of their commitment to Jesus Christ. There are countries today where you could be arrested and imprisoned. But you'd be released if you denied Christ. And they choose not to do that. They deny their freedom for the sake of Christ. Our college students, you know, others on the floor Friday night and they're going out and they're basically going to indulge the flesh and the Christian says no. They're denying themselves that indulgence, sinful as it is. You read about the missionaries in the Sudan. They deny themselves everyday amenities. You know, they don't have, you know, nice homes and carpeted floors and TVs and all sorts of libraries that they can take the children to and all the rest. They do it so that they can reach the Sudanese with the gospel. And so for the Christian, it means denying certain things, certain of your own maybe natural inclinations or things that you desire for the sake of Christ. Choosing to be ridiculed as a Christian rather than just sort of being silent and nobody knows that you're a Christian. You know, giving up on the promotion. Because, you know, it involves working on the Lord's Day. And you don't want to do that. And you won't do it. Well, the second thing we need to notice is as Jesus talks to us about self-denial, calls us as as his disciples to the idea of self-denial is that he never tones down what it means. Do we see the full impact? It's really an all-or-nothing proposition he's laying before. Either you're fully committed to Jesus Christ, fully committed to putting to death yourself and its desires that are often so sinful. And he talks about it in terms of, later on, a few verses of seeking to save your life, of wanting to keep on in the old lifestyle, do those things that please you. Ultimately, such a one loses their life. Such a one is not truly a Christian because they're more tied to the things of this world than they are to Jesus Christ. And thus, the Christian will so prize his relationship with Christ that they won't compromise on the truth of God or on God's glory. Won't engage in unbiblical ethics so you can keep your job. Because Jesus Christ is more important to you than your job. And you trust him to provide for you. Jesus bids us to die. He promises that in doing so, we actually save our lives. And look especially at verse 26, the eternal life. On the day of judgment, you and I, each one of us who does this, who denies themselves and takes up their cross, will be part of that vast multitude who enter the joy of their master. But Jesus makes it clear what's involved in being one of his followers. And I wonder how often that's stressed today. As the message of the gospel goes forth, is it talked about in terms of, well, if you believe in Jesus Christ, it's going to mean death to yourself, death to your desires, death to sinful goals that you may have, and living for Christ. That you need to repent and change completely. Suffer and even die for the sake of Christ. I think too much that cost of discipleship is left out, and we then have an easy believism. If all you do, you come forward and you're okay. If you say a prayer, then everything's all right, and the life doesn't change. Third thing we need to see is that such costly discipleship calls for a firm resolve on the part of the follower of Christ. You know, it's a pattern of living you just don't fall into. There's a conscious choice to deny self. Because self will always be presenting those options of what you want. This is nice. I want to do this. There'll be a conscious decision to die to self. And notice as it talks about taking up your cross, it says to do it daily. So it's not even a one-time death. It's a daily dying. It's a repeated and each day dying to self. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I die every day. Did he see he was talking there about following Christ and the hardships, the times of persecutions he went through? He endured those things, daily being conscious that he was dying to himself, dying to taking the easy way out, and living for Christ. And so it will be with those who are Christ. Each day will present a new temptation, a new time when you might compromise, a new time when you might avoid suffering or ridicule or being mocked or made fun of by your co-workers or whatever. It'll be necessary to deny yourself that day as well as yesterday. and well is the day coming. And as we look at this self-denial, it's not like those who would give up TV or chocolates for a short time. Things that may not even be bad. It's a denying. Day after day. Yourself. And all that would be sinfully related to yourself. Die to your desires. So that you're living for Christ. And the fourth thing that we need to see is that this self-denial, this self-denial that's dying to yourself, is only possible through regeneration. And as we go in Luke 9, notice the context. Back in 18 and 19, and I called attention to it. Peter has made this great confession. You know, thou art the Christ. And that's a confession that we all need to make. We all need to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior to be Christians. But if you could go to the parable in Matthew, Jesus comments on this. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, and the fact that Jesus is the Christ, but my Father who is in heaven. And so we see, and the truth that Peter needed to make the confession, and he made a valid confession, but Jesus was pointing out how he was enabled to do that. It was by God working in him, God revealing this truth. It wasn't because Peter was any smarter than the rest of the apostles that were with him or any of the Jewish leaders. It was God who took the initiative. That's what we often call as regeneration. The eyes of our hearts and our minds are open to see spiritual truths. And then when we do, we respond. With a confession of faith. And how can a person understand and put into practice self-denial? It's only as you're regenerated, as only as you've been given a new nature and a new heart, are you able to do that. It is only as you love Jesus Christ from the very core of your being, as you're transformed by the power of God, so that the glory of God is what your will is, what your desire is, what you want in your life. That you can be changed in this way. You're transformed by the power of God so that Christ is most important to you. And so as we think of it, self-denial and dying to oneself isn't oppressive or a robbing a person of joy, but it's really the ultimate in satisfaction and holy living, living for the glory of God. And what a great encouragement that is. As you willingly and lovingly surrender to Christ, you consider it a privilege, not a duty, to serve Him as your Master. But without regeneration by the Spirit, it can only be a work of the flesh. A work done in human strength. And if it's done in human strength, it will be burdensome. It will be onerous. And it will fail. And every year, as the new year starts, we see those who begin to try to do works in the flesh. They make New Year's resolutions. And how many of them are carried out? Very few. And if you try to do self-denial in the flesh, apart from God changing your heart, it will fail. It will not be true self-denial. Well, the second point is that in Jesus Christ, we have the ultimate example of self-denial. As He commands there, you take your cross daily and follow Me. Well, what does that mean? Well, Jesus has already kind of defined it for His disciples back in 22. It means suffering many things, being rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and being killed. Really, He was murdered unjustly. And as we go to Philippians 4, it points out that truth in very profound ways. It's really saying to us, the ultimate in self-denial was the incarnation. Jesus coming to earth. Because those verses in Philippians 2 talk about, really, Jesus could have stayed in heaven. He could have stayed and had the glory that was his. And there would have been nothing wrong for him in doing that. Of continuing in heaven, equal to the Father, equal in glory. But verse 7 literally says he emptied himself. He gave up his heavenly status. He denied himself what was legitimately his. And then the verses that follow indicate what that meant. It meant being born. It meant being a servant. It meant becoming human. It meant me humbling himself. It meant being obedient to the point of death on the cross. This is truly the ultimate in self-denial. A giving up of everything, of even giving up his own life. And we're called to have that same sort of mindset as Christ had, to be looking out for the interests of others. And you find it hard at times to serve others, to look out, to engage in self-denial. Well, consider Jesus Christ. Consider the example that he gave. If Jesus Christ had not denied himself, he would have still been in heaven, and we would still be in our sins. But he did deny himself. He did take on the form of a servant. He did go to the cross. And the Christian is the one who follows him in that example of self-denial. And third, consider the result for Jesus Christ of this self-denial that led to his death. Verse 9. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. What a profound statement that is. That Jesus Christ has the name that is above every name. He already has it. And in the future, we will see the full extent of that. And there are some who gain fame, and you might think of it, a local sports hero, the gymnasium gets named after them, or somebody in the political realm gets a statue in front of a city hall because of all the work and the effort, and so they're remembered. Maybe they become a national celebrity, and buildings and streets are named out there in various towns and cities, and so we can look at the streets here in Terre Haute that are named after presidents. And maybe there's a select few who are almost universal names. Whatever country you're in, it used to be, and I don't know who it is now, but the most well-known person alive was Michael Jordan. And more people knew his name and who he was and could identify his picture than anybody else. I suspect he's been away from basketball that's no longer true. But this is versus saying is even greater than Michael Jordan, whoever it is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ stands far above anyone. And we see that even now. You look and say, what's the most popular book in the world? Well, it's the Harry Potter series. 7 million books have been printed in the last few years, and it's been translated into 67 languages. And we might think, well, that's pretty good. But the story of Jesus Christ in the Bible has been translated into 1,500 languages. And so many countless millions of books, nobody's even trying to keep records of how many Bibles have been produced over the centuries. You look at him, he never raised an army. He never stormed a city. But countless millions have chosen to follow him. Often to the point of death. And so we hear of Christians dying in various lands even now. And we could go back all through history. And the Reformed Presbyterian Church has a rich history. 300 years ago, thousands died for the sake of Christ. Men and women and boys and girls who so identified with Jesus Christ that they would rather die than compromise the truth of the gospel. As far as we know, he had no formal education. But how many schools worldwide have the name Christian in them and teach the Bible? His public ministry was a short time, 3 years, in which he spoke to maybe a few thousand people. But today, he's still being proclaimed. You know, is anybody out there proclaiming Caesar, Aristotle, or Socrates? But Jesus is being proclaimed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, worldwide, to millions upon millions of people. And whether for good or the wrong way, his name is spoken everywhere, worldwide. Sometimes in hatred, sometimes trying to shut people up. But his name is exalted. His name is being spoken by countless millions. If you look at the bulletin, it's March 4th, 2012. You go over to China, it's 2012. You go virtually every place in the world, it is 2012. Why is that? Well, it's 2012 AD, the year of our Lord. And so the very calendar comes back to Christ and is a way of honoring him and recognizing him in the time that he was on this earth. Christ's name is exalted now in so many ways. And as Philippians goes on to say, in the future, it will be exalted even more. That every single knee. Now, there's just a few 100 million or more to bow the knee. That day, every single one will recognize who he is. He's highly exalted. And it came to him because he denied himself, took the form of a servant, and died on the cross. And our response, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is to deny ourselves as well. To take up our cross and follow him. Not in our own strength. Not trying to do it in human strength. But because God's been working your life. You want to please him. You're drawn to Christ. And so I'd ask you in closing, as you go forth, to be thinking about, how is it that Jesus Christ wants you to be denying yourself? It may be in small ways. It may be denying your reputation. Because you say something to someone, you know, I find that language offensive. And you know they're going to talk about you behind their back, behind your back, and say, what kind of prude is that? But the glory of Christ and the honor of Christ is more important to you than your reputation. So I encourage you to think about it. This daily denying of yourself. How will it show up in your marriage, in your work situation, in school? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we see in Christ that one who did not retain all the glories, that honor, that splendor that he had from the very beginning, that was his and that he could have held on to, but took the form of a servant, coming in human flesh and dying on the cross for us. And that he calls those who would be his followers to that same sort of thing, that we're to deny ourselves and take up our cross. That there are ways in which we will need to die to our own selves, our own desires, our sinful patterns, our desire for getting along with others at any price, compromising. There are times when we need to deny those sinful desires and habits that we've been involved in. There are times when we have to deny what we want for the good of others. And so I pray that you would be teaching us how to do that. How to die to ourselves and how to live for Christ. Enable us by your Spirit to do exactly that. We pray in Christ's name.